Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Quantum Revenue Expansion, where we talk about turning your annual income into your monthly income. I'm your host, Ursula Minchus. Super excited about the guest we have this week. I've been on her show. Now Marta's on my show, the amazing Marta Spurk. Marta is here, and we're going to be talking about mastering the art of speaking, unlocking visibility and influence. And for those of you who've been in my world for a while, you know that my biggest fear was public speaking back in the day. And yet I felt this push from God, spirit, universe, because I was being asked to speak all the time. So Marta, I would literally get on stage having full-on panic attacks, and I learned how to manage those. And only people who speak on stage frequently can practice or can appreciate that. Over the years, through lots of NLP, hypnotherapy, lots of other weird things, I came to the other side of it. So now I don't have that anymore, but I really feel for our listeners who, some of whom maybe want to do it, maybe have some fear, want to be out there, want to be more visible. So we're going to talk about all those things today. Before we do that though, let me introduce Marta properly so you know why I'm excited to have her on the show. Marta Spurk is a professional singer. That's like one of my dreams. I have nightmares about that, Marta. I dream that I'm on stage singing. That's probably with my speaking. But anyway, she's a professional singer. So already I'm amazed. TEDx speaker, best-selling author, and speaking coach who helps established business owners like all of you transform their message into a powerful signature talk. You need that. You need a signature talk. Yeah. So many times people have like 50 talks. It's like, no, you need one. You need one, and then you can play off of that. Yeah. By blending storytelling techniques with strategic coaching, Marta empowers her clients to inspire audiences, amplify their impact, and unlock new income streams through speaking engagements. Yes. She does that with her coaching programs, keynotes, podcast, and her award-winning book, The Empowered Woman, The Ultimate Roadmap to Business Success. Marta, super excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Having this convo. So tell us, like, what brought you into this world? Like, you're like full on. You're like singer, speaker, stage person, coaching other people to do all these things, TEDx speaker. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. So everything started from a young age, as it usually is. I was the rambunctious youngest child. So I am the youngest of two. And I was always singing and dancing, like, asking family members, sit there, and now I'm going to perform. Like, this was what I was known for. There's VHS all over to prove it. And my mom actually went on to become a pastor. She started her own church down in Brazil, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And she sings and plays the guitar. So I grew up seeing my mom as a speaker and also as a performer, because she was kind of like the one woman show. And as I started getting a little older, I started participating more and wanting to sing, wanting to speak. So everything started in church for me. She started following an American minister, started coming to America to his conferences, and then she started hosting these American ministers in her church. And because I loved English, and you know, it was known and people could tell that I had proficiency for being so young, I started helping with the language. So that was a big thing initially. That was my career. At 14, I started teaching English and getting paid for it. I didn't even know it was an entrepreneurial thing. And that's what people knew me as, was the walking English dictionary. Got degrees, you know, bachelor's, master's, everything in languages. But then in 2016, I had the surprise of having triplets. And as you can imagine, that turned my world upside down. You know, talk about identity crisis and, you know, what am I going to do with my life right now? And I knew I didn't want to do languages anymore. It was just something that became so clear to me. There's something else. And it had to do with mentoring. It was just mm-hmm. a desire in me of motivating people because of living such a big challenge in my life. It's like I needed to motivate myself. And it's like, now I'm going to motivate other people. And that being women, especially moms at the time. And that's when I started my coaching business. And everything had that vein of, I'm going to speak, I'm going to be in front of people, I'm going to motivate, I'm going to light a fire under people's butts to go do something out of their lives, you know? So that's where it all started.
Okay, so how old are your triplets now?
They are nine.
Nine. My son's 11. I only have one, and one felt like 20. So I don't know how you did it. I'm sure there were days that you weren't sure which way was up or down, but wow, that is unbelievable. And it also sounds like it's inspired you to want to serve and help others in a different way. And how old were you when you came from Brazil?
So I was 23. I actually married my American husband. I met him in church. We dated long distance for a while. But I was a full grown adult and just did everything and came to America.
Well, you speak American English, which is quite, like, I'm sure you've worked on that. Like, that's quite amazing. No one is incredible, especially coming at an older age. So, and then already at 14, you're getting paid to teach others and, you know, starting to get that entrepreneurial feel. So first of all, congratulations. That's quite a journey. And the babies. And I'm glad they're nine. I'm glad they can dress themselves now and eat themselves breakfast and get up and go to school.
Yes.
As moms. So as a speaking coach, so like you're in the world of speaking, you've helped entrepreneurs gain confidence on stage. And, you know, we started kind of talking about like, I have this deep fear of public speaking, but what's the biggest mindset shift do you think that helps people become better speakers, especially if they have some fear, which I would say most people do have some level of fear.
Yeah, I think it's really confidence that your story is unique and powerful, that you have gone through. It has a meaning. It has a meaning for you as you needed that lesson to grow. But then that also serves as encouragement for somebody else, whether it is because they're living something similar or because you can extract a lesson that you can resonate with.
And that's true, whether it's business, life, you name it, you help people find that. Is that one of the things you do, Marta, is help people find that key story?
Absolutely. Because many people think either I don't have anything cool to share. Like I didn't have some deep trauma in my childhood. Everything's boring. And I'm like, girl, we can find things. Trust me. Or I went through something so traumatic, like loss, death, sickness, disease. I don't want a pity party. And it's like that we can frame it in a very positive and uplifting way. It's all in how you frame it, right? So whatever fear people have around it, it's like, it doesn't matter. Your story is your story and it's unique and we get to share it.
Are you willing to share a little bit of your process that you use to help clients craft a powerful talk that really connects with their audience and then also drives business growth? Because I think sometimes people think those are two independent things. Before we got on, Marta and I were joking. We're like, because I told her, I'm like, this is the show where you get to sell stuff. We talk about sales. We talk about quantum revenue expansion. What are you selling today? Or like, you know, we talked about networking events where you go to and people are like, don't sell anything today. And it's like, no. So you help people really bridge that gap between here's my powerful message and I am here to grow my business. So how do you do that?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing is understanding that there are two extremes. If you share too much story, then people will get bored. And it's like, what's in it for me, right? It can be the most inspirational story, but if I can't extract a lesson, then it doesn't apply to me and I'm leaving inspired, but I don't know what to do with that. And then there's the other side of people will just give you, you know, the steps. Here are the steps to grow your business and do all this, but then there's no stories to illustrate. So it's hard for me to grasp the value of the steps that you're sharing. And here where the sale segue comes into play is that we need both. We need the story because the story connects, the story builds trust, and it also helps with credibility. Wow, you've been through things. Wow, you've helped clients, because that's something else that I help my clients pull our client's story. So yes, share your story, but especially if you've worked with clients for several years, obviously you have client stories of transformation that can help illustrate how good you are at what you do and how that person in the audience can see themselves as a potential client as well. And then the segue into the sale is you can absolutely walk away from here and apply this to your life and to your business. However, you have witnessed that I have the shortcuts. And I have that Therefore, here's how we can do something together. And it's just such a natural progression. And often people don't convert from their talks because the talk is not building towards that next step. You know what I'm saying? So everything is, it has to be interconnected. And typically they're not thinking about what's next. They're just letting it end in the room, and it can't end in the room.
Right. So you're saying really reverse engineering that process. Absolutely. What do you say to the client who's like, oh my gosh, Marta, that sounds amazing, but I feel like I'm going to sound salesy. Does anyone ever say that to you? I'm going to sound salesy. Yeah.
100%. And this goes, it's a deeper issue, right? That we all have rejection, fears, all kinds of different things. Imposter syndrome. Who am I to talk about this and support somebody when, because at times, like to give you an example, I have clients that work, for example, in a plumbing company. They're not going to teach a talk on this is how you fix your pipes. But we have been working on a talk on hiring because she has great experience as a manager in the company, right? So how do you delegate? But then at the end, the call to action is, if you know of anybody that needs support with their plumbing, if water is flowing, you know who to talk so you can build visibility towards your business, you know? So it's really just, like you said, reverse engineering and understanding that the good old selling is nothing more than sharing, right? Yeah. I know I have something valuable to give you and that could expedite your transformation. And also understanding that it may not be now, right? Maybe they're not ready to take the step with you now, but you have alternatives like something free. You get on a call, you have a great CRM follow-up system that a few months from now you follow up with that person, right? So there's a lot more to that than just day of.
What about conferences where they're like, you absolutely can't sell anything and we don't want you to do X, X, or X? Like, will you still speak there? Will you still encourage your clients? Like, what kind of strategies do you implement in those situations?
So it really depends on where they are at in their journey, what the audience is. I always say, you know, there's lots of free speaking engagements and sometimes even engagements where you have to pay as a speaker to be a speaker. That can be really, really valuable if you're in front of the right people, right? So it's not a hard fast rule of never pay to speak or never take a free pay or a free speaking engagement. Obviously, if it's rush hour across town and I have to find a babysitter and they're not paying me, I'm going to say no, thanks. I'm going to pass. Yeah. Right? But if it's, you know, so that's the number one thing that I say. Also, especially as you're starting out, every opportunity is practice. It's stage time. It's what you were talking about, being terrified and, you know, sweaty armpits, all the things. The more you do it, the less uncomfortable it gets. Let me just say it that way. Because we are going to get nervous. It's thinking you're never going to get nervous once you reach a certain point is a lie because we're humans. And there's our levels of insecurity, no matter where you are, you know. So, but to your point of if it's absolutely do not sell, there are ways around it. Again, sharing client stories, right? Making sure they're walking away with something tangible and physical that will prompt them to want to connect with you on social media, for example, or listen to your podcast, right? So you're still selling. It may not be a financial exchange, right? But you are asking for a review. There are tools like Talkadot, I don't know if you're familiar, where you can ask for them to rate your presentation and give you a testimonial, and you can also collect emails that way. So there are a ton of things you can do to make it worth your while.
Yeah. What was that called? Talkadot?
Talkadot, yeah. So Talk, TalkAdot.
Nice. Thank you for that tip. That's really good because I know people will run into that or have. Yeah. So in this world of speaking, what are the most common mistakes you see entrepreneurs make and how can they fix them?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. I would say the first thing is not understanding that speaking is marketing. Not understanding that being a speaker, there's a sentence that they use. I'm a part of National Speakers Association and they always say, we are salespeople that get to speak sometimes. That's what a speaker is. You know, I mean, if you want to speak more, you are going to have to look for speaking leads the same way that you would look for actual client leads. Right. You're going to have to ask around. You're going to have to put your stuff out there. You're going to have to practice. You're going to have to record. I mean, what do you think a sizzle reel or a speaker reel is? It's a commercial of you as a speaker, you know? So that's where I think people get disconnected where they're like, I just want to go out there and speak. Well, for you to get to the point where you're just getting paid thousands and thousands of dollars and traveling the world, living out of a suitcase, you're going to have to be doing this for decades. And before that, you're going to have to get paid in some other way, like selling a coaching program or something beyond that, because you can't make a living if you're not getting paid thousands and thousands of dollars and speaking several times a month, right? So I think there's a lot. And I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So it's not necessarily a mistake there. It's just people are unfamiliar and they assume things. And me being in this for so long, it's like, oh, you don't really know how it works. And that's okay. You get to learn, right? But the other thing I think too is really understanding that everybody is a speaker. Everybody has a voice. And that's really my goal with my coaching, is understanding that we're speaking all the time.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. And this was a huge reframe that I received from one of my first mentors back in 2017, actually. She said, if you're on a podcast, you are a speaker. And that encouraged me because I wanted to get on stages. And it's like, that's so true. It doesn't have to be at a large conference of 500 people with a mic in hand. It can be on a podcast. It can be on my own social media, right? It's my own platform. So I think all of these little mindset shifts help people understand that they have more authority than they realize.
Yeah. And you mentioned the paid speaking thing, and I have friends in the NSA. There's a small percentage of speakers who make their living off of just speaking. Yeah. And it's a grind. Like, I knew a gentleman who had been to all seven continents. He had, that was his goal. And he was speaking weekly or more. And he was constantly on the phone. Like, he goes, Ursula, that's my job. I'm constantly rebooking myself. I'm booking. He didn't work with a lot of agencies. Yeah. I did have the pleasure before COVID of working with an agency where they were booking me for paid speaking engagements. And that was a lot of fun. That was, you know, it was kind of glamorous for a little bit, but then I was like, I don't want to be on the road all the time. Yeah. Knowing how to speak for free and make offers, you know, is definitely a core of my business and where you can make a lot of money. Like, I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to get connected to an agency. They're going to pay me all this money. I'm going to fly all over the world. Well, unless you have like 10 New York Times bestselling books and you're still the hot topic, it's probably not going to happen. So then it's like, okay, how do I learn the craft that you're talking about? Mm-hmm. So speaking of that, how can business owners use speaking opportunities, whether on stage, in meetings, or on podcasts, to position themselves as experts and really grow their influence?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for saying all that and giving an actual real life example of what I just said, because some people think I'm lying and I'm making it up. And what you just said of him being on the phone. And that's the other thing too. I feel like I've had a little bit of imposter syndrome because I have not lived even what you were saying, traveling, because of having small kids. And it's like, how can I support people with this? And then I realized, well, there's lots of other women out there just like me who cannot afford to be traveling all the time. And they need to leverage the smaller, the unpaid things to grow their business and actually make money out of this. So now, to answer your question, it all goes back to the strategy and the messaging. And typically people don't monetize their talks because the talk is not geared towards an offer, but it's more than that. The message isn't clear. So it's more of like a business structure issue. And at times I end up getting into a little bit of business coaching and messaging and marketing with my clients, because you can't build a powerful talk if the offer is not there, right? So some clients come to me and they have all those pieces, and literally we just need to pull those stories, put everything together. And now here's the next step for the audience, right? And sometimes that next step is not clear. So we have to backtrack a little bit and look into, well, how are you even getting clients? What are you saying in your sales calls that you're not converting, right? So that is very important as well. So if you have worked, and I know of many people that have worked with a speaking coach and crafted a beautiful talk, if that talk is not converting, then the problem may be in the offer and in the message. Yeah. And that's why I love working with clients, and I see myself as a different speaking coach in this sense, is because it's not just the content and the delivery and finding opportunities for clients and with clients. It's, is this going to pay you money afterwards? I'm big on ROI.
Is it going to convert? So question on that, because I've done a lot of the stage speaking where you're selling from the stage, right? And I've been at a lot of events. Like, remember, well, back in the day, it was like pitch fest. It was like, there'd be 20 speakers and everybody be selling thing, you know, something from like $200 to like $10,000 from the stage, right? In your experience, is there a sweet dollar amount that converts the best from the stage? Like if you're selling a package, is it like is there a magic number where you're like, oh my gosh, or a range that tends to convert better?
I think it depends on the audience and the event.
Sure.
What works well is having different tiers, honestly, because somebody in the audience may be interested in the $200, $500, or even, you know, $1,000.
Yeah.
But some may not. But if they got on a one-on-one call with you, they may be interested in thousands of dollars of one-on-one coaching with you. Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's all a test. It's all an experiment. And it will depend on the audience as well. I used to not recommend doing one-on-one calls as your call to action at the end of a presentation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, for a huge conference, that wouldn't work. But we're talking right. about unpaid, smaller events, right? I can absolutely afford, if even 10 people, I can afford the time to meet for 30 minutes with those 10 people. If the 10 convert, or even, you know, if it's not 100%,
yeah.
For how much I charge for one-on-one, it is worth my time. However, if you're just selling $500 offer and you're getting on calls with people, then it doesn't work, right? So again, it's back to the structure of that person's business. If you have something self-paced, right? Because sometimes people auction off courses or they just give it away for free.
Yeah.
I don't have to meet with you. You're just consuming my content. Awesome. Right? So to answer your question, there is no right answer.
I think that's great. That's really great advice. And, you know, you're getting at the core of it, which is know your audience, right? Who's going to be there? And a lot of times people don't ask enough questions about who's going to be in the audience. Can I sell? How can I sell? One of the things I learned too, this is so funny. I had this amazing speaker agent, Lynn. This is a shout out to Lynn. She's not booking for me anymore, but she would book free engagements so that we could sell. And I, you know, the agreement was if I couldn't sell, I wouldn't do it. So we use that as the leverage point. What we learned though over time was instead of saying like, we have to be able to sell, because then they thought, ooh, Ursula's just going to do a pitch for an hour, right? Like that's just going to be a sales talk the whole time. What we would say instead is Ursula's going to deliver high quality value for the entire time. At the very end, is it okay if she shares a little bit about her products and services, right? And you like, this is probably what you teach, right? And they were like, awesome. We just changed the verbiage. I was still sell. And I would even do like a pretty hard sell from the front, but in their minds, they're like, oh, isn't that cute? She's just talking about her products or services.
Oh, it's all in the reframe. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yes.
So good.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So as we're kind of getting to the end here, and again, kind of where we started, because I was sharing my literal panic attacks on stage. Many people, entrepreneurs, struggle with nerves and imposter syndrome. You mentioned that when speaking. Like, who am I to be doing this? Who am I to be the expert on stage? Look at all these talented people, right? Like, we can tell ourselves these old stories and have this whole freak out before we get on stage. So what are your top techniques for overcoming fear and projecting confidence anyway?
Yeah. So there's a few. I think the first is take a look at the stories you're telling yourself and really write it down. And then ask yourself, is this really true? Because we tend to tell ourselves really bad stories, right?
We do.
Oh my gosh, it's so terrible. Like, people are going to be judging me. They're going to be writing down all the times I say, and, you know, and it's like, at the end of the day, most people, obviously not all, because there are some people that are very judgmental and it is what it is. Most people are, I think, excited or admire, I should say, admire the person that's in front, because that's a hard job to have. As a speaker myself, some days I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to get up there and I'm not in charge of this meeting. I'm just sitting here, right? So people appreciate having somebody up there because it's not an easy job. So if you're nervous and if you stumble and if you even say, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, people empathize with that, you know?
Yes.
So realize that and instead tell yourself good stories. So something that I always tell myself, whether it is before I perform or before I speak, is everybody loves me and they want me to succeed.
Mm.
True. But I know there's a lot of people in the audience, especially the person that hired me, you know,
wants you to succeed.
They want me to succeed. They want me to do a good job. So they're not sitting there thinking, when is she going to trip and fall and, you know, make a fool of herself? You know?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing as well. And then another piece of it that really goes along with it is thinking, if only one person in this audience walks away transformed, if yes. they, you know, because there's so many speaker stories that I hear of people saying, you know, that day I was ready to take my own life, but after I heard your talk, right? And not all of us have that impact of talks, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if imagine, and most of us will not hear back from somebody like that, or maybe years from, I don't know, right? But it's like, if somebody left here inspired, encouraged, and could walk away with something good, I did my job.
Yeah. So true, right? I did have, this is funny. I was invited to speak at a regional Toastmasters meeting, and I was not a Toastmaster. And I told them that. I'm like, I'm not a Toastmaster. They're like, yeah, but you've been out there speaking. Like, we're not going to pay you, but we want you to come and you can sell at the end. So I was like, all right. So there's somebody in the audience who counted my ums and came up later. Like, she'd made little ticks on a sheet. I laugh about this to this day because inside I was thinking, and yet you were in the audience and I was on stage and I don't even belong to Toastmasters, right? So you got to be able to talk yourself. You got to know people are going to say weird stuff. I had another woman come up one time and she's like, the only reason, this is before I had Luca, the only reason you're successful and you can do all these things is because you don't have children. It was like she was cursing me, you know? It's just like, if you can't develop a sense of humor though, because people, you're going to have fans. You're going to have I call them fangirls, fanboys who are going to love you. They're never going to buy anything, but they love you to death. And they're going to want to talk to you and be around you. And then you're going to have people who just wanted to come up and tell you how terrible you are. And then it's the people in between though. The people in between those two bookends, like if you can remember that, those are the people you can actually help. And the rest you have to have a sense of humor about. At least I did. Like at times I would just be like dying laughing inside. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this person really saying this to me right now? Okay. All right. Moving on. So yes.
That's crazy that somebody, I said that just jokingly, but that's crazy.
That's what I can tell you.
I'm going to use it.
On a tick sheet.
I actually know somebody who had that happen.
Yeah. 51 ums is how many. Yeah. And it was a lot.
Five.
Apparently someone else though was standing there and they're like, that's not really that many. And I was like, I don't know. Is this a thing? But I mean, I think in anything, Marta, right? Like keeping our sense of humor in business, on stage, being authentic. Like there are times when I've just bombed. Like we used to have jokes about, we would try to go speak like out of town. So if we really stunk up the room, no one would know us and we could just kind of like get out the back door. Like you're not going to be good in the beginning. No one is. You're going to stink up the room. You might have some good moments of people are like, oh, I love when you said that thing. It takes practice. So on that note, like, is there anything we missed or anything else you wanted to share with our audience?
Oh my gosh. I think we covered it all pretty much. And I guess to just piggyback on what you just said, it's a skill, whoever it is. And that's not just speaking, but let's imagine the best speaker you have seen recently or in your life. They didn't start there, right? And this goes for anything. Mm-mm. Somebody that sells really well, converts amazingly. They did not start there. Somebody that sings amazingly. They didn't start there. Everything takes practice and things in the behind the scenes that you're not seeing. So don't fool yourself into thinking they are special. Therefore, I can't do it. This is just an excuse.
Yeah. So true. Beautiful. So on that note, I know you have some things to tell our audience about and definitely share like where they can find you, where they can connect with you and try like, we want you to sell us something today, Marta. Like, what do you got? What do you got for our audience? Let's go.
So I have a recent workshop that I did. I got amazing feedback on that talks about these mindset shifts. And it's called Start Using Speaking Now to Grow Your Business. And it's free and you can access it on my website. It's on the homepage, martaspork.com. Or if you go to martaspork.com/speaking workshop, you'll be able to download it, access it right away and watch it. And then the other thing is, let's get on a call. I love talking to women to understand where they are at in their speaking journey because people are in different, you know, stages and where they want to take it. So maybe it's just the confidence to get on a sales call and not, you know, fall down and die. Maybe it's the confidence to raise your hand in a networking meeting and say your pitch and feel confident about it. You know, whatever it may be, get on a podcast interview, or maybe it is to find speaking opportunities, get paid. I don't know. Let's get on a call. And you can also find that on my website, martaspork.com. There's a tab, work with me. You can book a consultation and we'll talk about where you're at and how I can support you.
Awesome. We'll have martaspork.com, all the things in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And so just so for someone out there who's listening is like, this sounds amazing, but how would I know it's for me? Like how far along do I have to be in business or like, who's your ideal client? Who do you love to work with?
I love working with women that are established, meaning back to what I was saying, they have a clear idea of their audience. Their messaging is clear and their offer is already validated, right? They have had clients go through their offer, whatever it is, mostly service-based, but I do work with product-based businesses as well. But something specific about the women that I work with is they've built the business and now they want to share the story. They want to talk about the ups and downs, what they've been through, because oftentimes people look at them and they're like, wow, you're amazing. And I could never be like you. And now they feel the need to be like, no, honey, it wasn't overnight, you know, and they want to share the beginnings of it and the triumph, but also the bumps in the road. So that's typically, and usually women that say, I know I have a story, or people have said, you have such an amazing story. When are you going to write a book? When are you going to speak? You know, so that's the woman.
Got it. I can see her already. She's out there listening. Mm-hmm. Marta Spurk, thank you for being on Quantum Revenue Expansion. Loved having you on the show, and we wish you your best year yet.
Thank you.
Yeah. And to our listeners all over the world, thanks for hanging out with us. Always great to see you. If there's anything we can do for you, you can email us at contact@ursulainc.co. That's it for this week, everybody. See you soon.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.